It's 1 o'clock into recess, so let's resume with the financial presentation. Harlan?
Okay, so the last one we just need to run through is the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund, or SERF. This slide shows a summary for the period ending December 31st. So we're actually running a little bit ahead of our budget revenue from the year. And this primary revenue source for this fund is the system development fee that's charged on new construction. And since it's more of a capital reserve fund, there's no expenditures out of here at this point in time. So this just shows the change in this fund balance. And prior to 2018, the revenue sources for this was user fees, which was about $2,500. The things changed at that point in time, and we were then allowed to charge something called a system development fee. The fee that was calculated, it was much lower. I think it's $592. So that's the primary revenue source this going forward. You see that there was a decrease in the fund balance back in 2017. We used money for, I think, the sewer bypass project, and also some funds went towards the lift station that was constructed by the Public Works Building. Since then, there's been a steady increase, not over not significant amounts, but there has been an increase. So that's not a good thing. Again, this is capital reserve fund for potential sewer projects. Any questions on that? So that kind of completed all the funds that the town has to get their kind of current status, So what I just wanted to briefly cover was kind of like the annual report to town council on our minimum fund balance policy. So that policy, which is in effect since 2012, is to keep at least a fund balance of 32% of the projected expenditures for the governmental funds. Governmental funds are the general stormwater, PAL bill, beach protection, and federal asset forfeiture. And it has to be 32% of unrestricted funds, which are all committed, assigned, and unassigned funds as reported in our annual audit. So to make a little more sense of that, I'll just put this for the last 3 years. This shows the amount of each category of our governmental funds and the percentage. So I'll really just focus on the 2020. And this was all covered, I guess, when the presentation was done by our audit firm. So I don't really want to go repeat all of that, but this is the basis for determining our compliance with our minimum fund balance policy. And I guess the key things here are the bottom three categories that I'll say restricted can only be used for those purposes. So the streets being our PAL bill money, federal asset forfeiture, we talked about the fund under this control of the police chief. And then finally, that state statute is a calculation every year. It's basically 8% of your expenditures. It's probably the best way to look at it. It's about 1 month's worth of fund balance that you need to keep on hand per state statute. So that amount changes every year based on circumstances. The other key thing to look at is unassigned, so the honors category, and the fact that that is increased significantly over the last couple of years. So that unassigned, you can really look at it as it's money that's available to use if need be.
So this was as of July 1st, last year? Okay, I just want to make sure.
And it's really the best time to look at it as at a specific point in time, just because of, as we saw, like the way property tax revenue comes in. So it's a meaningful time to look at it really. So this just shows, okay, how have we done in relation to our minimum fund balance policy? So you really see that since 2011, there's only been 1 year that we weren't in compliance. That's when it was first developed. Since that point in time, we are well within that 32%. In fact, you know, it grew to as high as 72% back in 2015. Started to come down a little bit because we did capital expenditures, and primarily out of the stormwater fund were the significant reductions. So that brought that percentage down, but still well above what town council set as the minimum fund balance policy. So we're in good shape. And as we see, the last 2 years, it started to go up just a little bit again, too. I also show how we look in relation to just that unassigned category. And you can see for most years, we actually meet our 32% requirement just looking at the unassigned balance, not even taking into account the other categories also. Mm-hmm. So we're actually doing very well and have a strong financial position.
I'm sure that's with your help.
Well, everybody helps. I mean, yeah. Department heads, you know, controlling expenses. It's town council setting good.
Correlates to when I got
the fiscal it. Policy, so it's everybody does their share. So.
Okay.
So, is there any questions on that? So next, I thought we looked at the past and the current kind of start to look forward again, similar to what we've done in other years. And we start out with like 5-year capital plans, and this was a request put out to department heads back in probably October, November time frame to what they thought they were going to need in capital expenditures over the next 5 years. So we'll start with the general fund, and I'll kind of let you look at this, and really I'm going to say questions that you may have on anything in here should be directed to the applicable department head, or really if you have any questions about what the expenditure's for, or why, or the amount, or any of that. So,
do you have guidance on how small or big an expenditure should make it on here? Is there like a guidance to the department heads?
What we use is our threshold for capital expenditure is $5,000.
Okay.
And it has $5,000 with at least a useful life of 2 years. So that's the guidance that's given. So.
Okay.
So a lot of this are, you see things that were discussed or brought up earlier today. There could even be this was as of a period, November, December time frame. So there may be some changes that department heads have at this point in time too. But all the projections I've done that we'll look at later are all based on these schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little more information on street paving on the next slide that we can take a look at. But that's why I highlighted that some of that would be paid for from the Powell Fund, but not all.
Right. So, Jimmy, on boardwalk replacement, you're just thinking you'll break it up into 4 sections? Is that sort of the plan? That's what it looks like?
Yeah, we tried to do it in a 4-year plan deal. So.
I mean, I know we're doing some repairs now because I saw it last time I walked.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. But. Is that how council sees that as well, a 4-year, or is that one we would push to do all at one time?
I like to see the report. Jimmy has somebody to look at areas and maybe, if you got longer stretches like we talked about settlers or.
Well, I was talking about the boardwalk. I'm sorry, Alan.
Well,
I jumped way down, but that too, paving as well, right? So, I mean, you see, big chunk, I think with the emails we've been getting, that becomes a much bigger project than is in the 5-year plan. And once Jimmy set that out, I think council needs to say, here's the streets we won't prioritize, and we want to collapse some of them all into one bigger project. I agree with you, Al. I'll switch tracks.
Jimmy, what kind of plans do you have for the garbage truck? I'd like to see us at least look at the possibility of a one-man operation so it would help you with your workforce. So.
Well, I actually do have a quote from the same company that we've been getting our garbage truck from. I did push it back another year or so, but that's definitely something that we would like to get.
I know the downtown area. I know it's a part of town that you can't get away from.
Well,
I know that.
I think at one point in time, I think my budget was like $200,000, but I got an actual quote of like $329,000 for a truck like that. That's the reason I pushed it back another year or so, because we've still got some use out of our old trucks yet. We still have three good trucks going. I mean, we've had to put some money into them repairs, but they're actually still pretty good, in pretty good shape.
Well, it serves a lot of good purposes for the department.
Now, yes. Commissioner Oliver, you sent the rest of us an email recently. You talked about towns going to private trash and recycle. What's the history here? Did we do that before? Is there cost savings? I mean, if you don't buy a truck, you have to lay off some people probably if you hired it out.
Well, we've hired out already. Recycling is.
His was just about recycling. And they were basically eliminating everybody paying and having people opt in. And is that right, Al? I'm thinking the same one.
Yeah, no, we can talk about it now, but I've asked for some information. I've got a friend that lives in Manio. He's supposed to send me some information on exactly how it's working there. But I think, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, we got a recycling site at Joey Park, right?
We did. We don't anymore.
Previous before me. Yeah.
Right. And then we contracted with Waste Management to pick up the recycling.
Right.
We don't know, and Mandy and I met with their representatives, and we don't know how much of it's actually going into landfill versus how much of it is truly recyclable. So we're going to try to get some better information from the public, to get out to the public about what to recycle, maybe help out. Because what happens at that recycling plant, they go and they dump it all on the floor and it hits a conveyor belt. So they don't know Curie Beach recycles from Carolina Beaches or Wilmington. I mean, it goes all over. They don't run it by truckloads. So that causes a little problem. But I thought if council would like me to give some information, I would gather more information on that. Say what many of us doing, possibility, looking and seeing how it works. I wouldn't want to jump in until they have a year or so under their belt, but it might be something to look at.
Yeah, recycling, it continues to be a big problem, right? As soon as China turned off taking it, and that's why the rates have went up on the contract we saw. To me, I think it's something the town should support and we should do, but the citizens got to weigh in a little bit for me, right? I mean, because I agree with you, it's going there. If we make it voluntary, in my opinion, none of the rentals will do recycling, which will drive up the cost of what we send to the landfill, which will then change the garbage rates for everyone. Because we have to pay what it costs, right? We try to, Arlen and Jimmy try to make that so that we're paying what it costs us to deal with it, right? They'll just end up with a third can, I think, instead of a recycling can, because they drink a lot of beer on those rentals.
And how much of that recycling is contaminated? Do the renters, vacationers, not give a flip about it, and it's contaminated with regular garbage?
I don't know.
It's not going to go into trash.
It gets contaminated.
A lot of it.
And a lot of it does get contaminated.
So I think definitely we end up picking up at the beach accesses. That's why we got rid of them there. I don't know how many, and Jimmy, I don't know if you know, maybe you do, how many we actually pick up at the rentals of recycling cans. We don't do any pickups of those, do we?
No, so we don't.
So the recycling company at least deals with it. Whether they're contaminated or not, they're at least putting in their truck. At the beach accesses, they would not pick them up and we would have to empty them.
Yeah.
Right? But as a private residences, they do at least pick those up. I never understood exactly why they didn't, but they do. So maybe because they know we're not going to pick them up at a private residence. So I don't know the right answer for recycling at all.
I don't either. I just
think we should support it as a community. I mean, personally, that's just on a personal note.
I also feel bad for people that aren't here
year-round, and they're paying that fee. They're basically paying that fee, and they're not getting the benefit out of it.
So I don't. Haven't grown
well,
up here.
Either, but
let me just tell you the strategy, the financial strategy of the town from the 70s was that the people that own second properties here defrayed the cost of the people who lived here year-round. That's how it worked. So if you look back, the first off, trash was paid in your property taxes, and everything was paid in your property taxes back then. We split it out to try to make it more fair, but back then, but the water rate was at that time, and that's why we've been switching it. I've led council to switch that to a usage-based rate. But the old rate used to be everybody paid the same, and it didn't matter how much you used.
Right.
Who that benefited was the full-time residents back then, because they were here in December using water, and no one else was, and everyone was paying the same rate, right? And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how the evolution. I think that everyone benefits from. I mean, you cannot make it where it's 100% the user pays, right? Because we've tried to do that with more cans for properties, and the second can costs more now to try to get people recycling, everybody pays. So, I mean, it's a balance out. And, you know, in the end, you know, we could put it back on property taxes, and then if you have a better house, you pay more than the other people. I mean, that might help the retirees. But it's going to be different no matter how you do it. And I think it is fair that the people that can afford a second home that they never come to in Curie Beach pay as much as those of us that are just scraping by with our one home so we can just live, right? I'm fair with that.
I mean, another point to this is the recycling folks are picking up 2,400 cans. I'm just using the number, 2,400 cans.
Right.
And then all of a sudden that declines by 30%. They still got to make it worth their while to come down here.
Exactly.
So it may cost us more. It may not work. But
that's right.
You know.
If we make it voluntary, which I'm fine with, right, if the citizens say that's the right thing to do, I'm just afraid a lot of people are just not going to do it.
I don't know about voluntary from my perspective.
Let's just kind of follow the situation in Manio and see what happens after about a year or so.
I think it's a good idea. You know, Alan,
we'll try to
look
get
at
better
it.
Educational information on recycling, and maybe it'll help.
Yeah, so maybe there might be a remedy in there we don't see, or when we have data, maybe right. There'll be something else we
yeah.
see. But
but they couldn't provide us, or they haven't provided us the information that Mandy and I talked to them about.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't really think they have the ability to provide it to us.
Yeah, I mean, it is getting to be a more difficult thing, but I guess, you know, if you use it, you pay for it, and sometimes there's a minimum requirement.
So back to capital, the boardwalk replacement was when I started this. I'm sorry we wandered off, but do we want it to be 4 years, or do we want to collapse that in more into fixing it all 1 year? I mean, you guys all walk it a lot as well, or John bikes by it, he didn't walk it, but.
If.
I mean, we're doing repairs right now, but Jimmy's budget basically breaks it in quarters. At least that's how he did it for budgeting purposes. Is that something we want to try to address it in a shorter time frame?
Given that the wood looks very different when you do it, like if you walk down there now and see the bright wood versus the gray boards and all that stuff, I'd be more inclined to do the project maybe significantly together if we can, if it makes sense. But I'm a little concerned about the cost of lumber right now.
Right. Well, yeah, the cost of lumber has also went up. But you also got to look out for now as a tear-out fee from the previous walkway now. You know, it's not just going in there, putting something new in and start from scratch. You know, you're actually having to tear something out and remodel it. So, I mean, there's going to be a cost of tearing out and installing.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the feeling of the risk council?
We've got to stay on with the. We've got areas that need to be replaced.
we've got times of the year that's not near impossible to go there and do the work.
This is the time of the year that we can get to it.
Have we ever looked at putting down the tracks, which would last a lot longer, more expensive, understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if anybody looked at the study of
putting down what?
Tracks.
Tracks.
They're called tracks.
Plastic stuff. Oh.
How long did this boardwalk last?
It was installed in 2007.
Yes, sir.
2010?
Yeah, 2007.
Oh, 2007. Well, 13 years ain't bad.
Not right on the ocean.
No, that ain't bad. I mean, certainly we can do an estimate on the treks. Treks would last, I guess it's supposed to last forever, but it does get hot and it does fade, I think. Or maybe the new stuff doesn't.
Or kill one hurricane. Make treks from like 2 to 6 or 2 to 12. No, it's all. See, that's just the problem. The problem isn't really the boards that you walk on, it's the frame underneath it.
The frame.
That gives out. So putting tracks on something like that, you know, it's really not going to help the situation out.
Does it make sense to do the framing tracks? Would that be more durable?
Make it what?
They don't really make it.
Would it be more durable to do the framing tracks?
I don't think they make that.
I've never seen it before.
Yeah, 4x4s and everything. That's the issue.
All right. Okay. Not a bad idea, John. Just looks like the world's not ready for it.
I'm ready. I haven't been on Trent's website a long time. Let me see if they've got any material.
Well, so I think the issue, let's not solve the problem, is is council okay with it being quartered, or do we want it collapsed into a bigger project for planning purposes? Because Jimmy's budget shows it happening in this budget year, and Arlen's got to know, does council want him to try to do it all, or is he, right now his proposal to council is we're going to quarter it? They just need direction, and then we can move on. I don't think solving it right now is the issue. It's what's the direction of council? I just asked the question. I'm okay either way, but I want council to understand, right? Because I know multiple commissioners have sent emails about the boardwalk, and so is it council's will for Jimmy to make it one big project this year, and then Arlen can figure out the budget for that? Or are they okay with what Jimmy proposes of doing it in quarters? That's the question to council, and then we can move on. Because
I support a bigger project at one time, and I think the perception is that the town is taking care of the people. Because if you see it as a fourth,
right,
it comes across as, well, it's always a piecemeal.
Right.
You never can get something completed. Because it won't be long after the first one's put down, 4 or 5 years later, you're replacing that again. Mm-hmm.
If we do make it a bigger project, what do you feel like, a third, a half of it? I mean, I know it all depends on where you come in and have a major water leak.
That's what I mean, the bigger you make it, the harder it's going to be for us to start and finish. You know, I mean,
I don't want to do something that's going to overburden you guys and not get it done. And, I mean, it's not going to hurt anything, but if you get a section torn out, you know, I'd just like to hear from you. Give it some thought. If you can do more than a fourth, I'd go for it.
Right. What do you think is a reasonable amount for you to do, Jimmy, given the 14 men you have on board and given the other stuff you have to do? You want to cut it in half, or you want to do it in quarters?
I would stick with the quarters. I would have to stick with the quarters.
Okay.
As much work that we, you know, we do and keep up around this town, I mean, it's so hard. It's kind of hard to pull 14 guys off and put them on one project when we got water leak and tracks being picked up and this and that. You know, I can release 3 or 4 guys on a project to do it, but they're not going to get it done as quick as, you know,
sure,
a licensed contractor or something like that. So we will have to pull them off time to time.
Okay, we can make this a plan and then execute to the best of the ability if we possibly can do more. But the question was, ask him, what could he do with 14 guys when he has everything else to do? he would like to keep it in quarters, so may not be the most aesthetic, but I guess it might be the most achievable at this point.
So I think when we see everything as we move through the budget process, once council's allocated the funds, we talk about what the right way to do it is.
Right. Yeah.
And because I appreciate Jimmy wanting to do stuff. I do appreciate that, but that's right in the middle of town, and why wouldn't we get it done? Sometimes you have to pay more, but there's something for that time, right? And so we got to balance that out.
Okay. So more to come on that.
So how we do it, I think, Jimmy, you should propose the two issues and then say the pluses and minuses to council of contracting out versus you doing it in-house, right? Because I think it will take a much longer time with what happens in the town.
Yes. Okay.
But now, there is some savings. So
I did have one other question. So I see that there's a public works building.
Yeah, I told him to put that as a placeholder for council to get it on the plan. It's not this coming year because we need to talk about what we would want and need.
Yeah, but that's something that's really going to be entailed with engineers and architects and something like that. I just wanted to put that in there just to have it in a five-year plan that, you know, we do have to have somewhere to start parking some of these really expensive pieces of equipment.
That was going to be my question. Are we talking about putting new offices, or are we talking about a big storage structure?
What I was kind of thinking of, since what we have now is capable of holding a pretty good size of equipment, is moving maybe the office building across to the vacant lot there, making mm-hmm. the offices there, and places for the guys to stay and stuff like that, and just use that as a maintenance building that we have now.
Okay. I mean, that can make sense instead of investing in a structure to cover something when you already can do that in the old building. Okay.
All right,
I just wondered where it came from, so, all right.
And additionally, what is probably not all here, that's why I asked about the $10,000, is I don't know if other commissioners have gotten complaints around the lot that we have. Jimmy's done some work to clean it up, but we may want to consider a fence on that lot, especially with parking, so that it doesn't show up as a big parking lot on Saturdays for the police to have to manage. So that's not really on here as a placeholder, and we don't have a number yet, but you'll probably see that come up again if you can add that, Arlen. I'm just worried that when we go to pay parking, since we voted on that this morning, that's a big empty lot by a popular beach access that's not too far back, that a lot of people could start parking on that our police got to deal with this summer if we don't do something about it.
You're talking about back here?
No, I'm talking about I'm right across from the public works building.
Oh, yes. Okay.
The lots we own right there.
Okay.
If I think, and Jimmy and I still got to talk more about this, I think a privacy fence there would make the neighborhood happier, because I've got complaints periodically, and some of you may have as well. It'll also make it not look like an area that I can park for free and be left alone with. Because our visitors will know that cars are there. When our weekend person comes down, they park there. The same thing, we got to put some type of signage at the public works office area as well, or make them paid spots on the weekend as well, because people will park down there too.
Okay. Did we, what did we tell our friends at Matsu about this? If they give us go ahead on this, we said we would fence that.
Correct. And we wouldn't allow parking there, I assume.
No,
right?
No.
Yeah. It's not for parking.
Just storage or lay down.
Or training, right?
Yeah.
So that's another potential fence, if they give us permission.
Well, I'm sure Matsu will have a bunch of requirements.
And they'll have a specific fence.
Yeah, they'll have specific requirements. So
look, I have a Carolina Beach fence.
If Matsu gives us permission, that'll have to be a separate issue in the budget. Because, so the stormwater fund would pay for that pipe if they authorize it, once we get the drawings to them. The fence would, I assume, be out of the general fund, unless Arlen tells me differently, and it'll have to meet their specs.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll have plenty of specs for it, because they want the whole area fenced off if they could get us to pay for it. I mean, the whole buffer zone, they would like us to fence.
But also with them, I remember Nancy saying that that could be in kind, though, mm-hmm. if we do it. So,
that's right. Yeah. That would count towards
that
any,
would be
any lease or anything, right?
That would be excellent.
Because they want all of it fenced all the way down the fire lane. So,
right. That's so exactly cool. Right.
Okay. We done with this page? Or is there more?
Anybody have any other questions? General fund, capital fund?
Is the ATV going to change with what Chief said this morning? Does that line item change?
For no, sir. Like I said, what? So for the, you mean for the upcoming years?
Yes. For just 21, 22, the one that we're looking at, the projected one, right? That's the column we're looking at.
No, sir.
Looking
so at, so right? What we're doing is we're taking our current budget for this year instead of getting the new four-wheeler, buying five tower towers.
Okay. So that's this year's.
Okay.
So really the column we should be looking at, Arlen, is the 2021-22 one, right? As far
right,
as the budget.
That's the upcoming.
Okay. Thank you.
And again, this is a evolving document.
No, that's good. No, I'm glad you guys are planning 5 years out. That's awesome.
So what I did was, you see at the top the street paving, and I know we've already talked or whatever about street paving, so what I tried to do was just look at the estimates for street paving that were included on that five-year capital plan, what our normal like street maintenance costs are, which, you know, approximately $20,000 a year, and how much would we have to use from the general fund to actually pay for the street paving that was included on that capital plan. So, and it takes into account, you know, the funds we get for Powell Bill and all of that. So that's how much would have to come out of the general fund, the amounts in red for each one of those years.
Jimmy.
The paving on the previous page.
Jimmy, just ballpark, what would a Settlers Lane from start to finish, what would that cost to pave? Just a ballpark, just out of curiosity.
The quote I got.
Do it all, one job, over and done with.
Now, you know, it all depends on how much you do and how much you spend. The quote that I got, I think it was 2 years ago, was
I think you had mentioned at one point 400,000, 500,000.
Yeah.
More than that,
right? Sure. I'll let you find the number.
It was around $105,000.
Is that taking it down to grade, Jimmy? Because I'm worried that quote is just resurfacing.
Sir, this was to add 1 1/4-inch wedge and 1.5-inch resurface.
Do all of Settlers Lane.
That's not a, that won't include
right.
Coring.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's, we got to get better numbers because those numbers from 2 years ago, we did resurfacing around Ashley, was it Ashley down there?
Yeah.
And we didn't take it all the way down, which it worked out fine because we had the drop, but I don't think you have the same drop everywhere else. So that there were some concerns when we did that. It turned out fine, which was good. But I think that we got to do a bunch more looking at Settlers because of some low spots right now. And then them continuing to pump from behind there as well.
No, I'm sorry. Blue was Curie Village Way. I apologize. We were looking at 254,000.
254.
Yes. 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
No milling.
Same thing.
No milling or nothing.
Right. So I would say double that.
Yeah, I would too. Probably $500,000.
Well, yeah.
And so, like I said, let Jimmy share with you guys the plan that is in this budget, and then as council, we should talk about what the direction is for Jimmy and Arlen on combining it and collapsing it in. This is just the current plan. If we collapse it in, it just makes it bigger. So that's what Arlen's highlighting, is that if we just did what Jimmy proposes, which is a slower plan, it's $500,000. If you do it faster, it's going to be more because you have less time to recoup, right, Arlen?
Right, yeah, it'll be more that you have to take out of the general fund. Yeah.
Right, or a loan that you pay back over time.
Right, which is, yeah, so I put it in the general fund.
Right.
But would the local government commission allow us to borrow money for paying roads?
Probably, because one thing I would think about doing, but again, just off the top of my head, we were talking before about some kind of sewer projects that need to be done, maybe trying to look at, is there a way to do like a bigger overall loan that's for town infrastructure that maybe covers a couple things that we can...
Are you allowed to mix those two? Is that okay?
I don't know. I mean, that's why it's just off the top of my head. I'd have to look at whether that's feasible or not to even do. But keep the cost down of actually borrowing a little bit.
But a lot of towns do that with general obligation bonds. In fact, street improvements. They did water lines, sewer lines.
Well,
all that stuff. But that's a different monster altogether.
Right. When you get into that, though, you get some of them aren't crossing over the types of bonds, though, because you got your general revenue, which are more general fund related, then you got different requirements for water and sewer. So I'm not sure if it's possible or not. Yeah. It was something I would take a look at.
Alan, I would be surprised if they wouldn't allow you to do that, to take loans out, because the Cure Beach strategy is not the typical strategy of building up and paying for it as you go. Most towns go into debt for stuff like that, so I can't imagine there's not a way to do it. We just got to figure it out.
Yeah, I think we could borrow to pay.
Right.
I mean, again, my thought was, is there something that's like a bigger town-wide infrastructure?
Right. Well, that's why I was asking if it's the two different points.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm
just not sure it's feasible or allowable to cross over funds, because you have to show your repayment plans.
Right.
And it starts to get into different requirements for whether it's a general fund kind of thing or a water sewer fund.
Jim, you have $400,000 here for repaving 2022. Is that Settlers?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what I put.
Okay, that's what you're looking at. Sorry, we're thinking it might be a little low.
I'd love to have that pipe in place before we repave Settlers, because I think drainage from back there causes a lot of the destruction, especially. Yeah. The west side of Settlers.
Which also brings the point that Arlen was saying. If we can understand the total cost, it can be one project.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. All right.
But I think for budget purposes, my question is, once Jimmy shared the information, we need to give him and Arlen feedback on whether we want to do it faster or not, once you see the plan. So Commissioner Oliver asked him to share it, which I know he will do. He'll get Robin to send it out to us. And then once you've looked at it, you just need to give Arlen direction and Jimmy on, no, I think we should do more of this than waiting over the 4 years that we've got in here. And then they can tell us how to do it, and here's the pros and cons, right?
Right. I mean, we'll factor it into the,
To the budget process.
It's a lot easier to keep a company here doing something than it is getting them there and then getting them back.
That's right. Yeah, mobilization is a good thing for bigger projects. I agree.
Okay.
I like this, Arlen. Nice job.
Yep.
But there's multiple ways. And then I think like we talked about getting estimates for maybe more current costs or whatever.
So yep. No, but this is good.
We'll get several different companies to bid on.
So, any other questions on street paving at this point?
Nope.
So then we'll move on to the water and sewer fund. This is the 5-year capital plan for that. And questions would be addressed to Jimmy in this case. He gets pretty much all public works.
So are we done with all the bypasses, Jimmy, since I see they were this past year? The 6 lift station sewer bypasses?
All the bypasses are done, yes sir.
And then what's not on here, is that, there's not another page, is there?
Yeah, there is. One next, three more.
But for public works?
Yes.
Here. So what's not, that's right. What's not on here is potentially 4th and 5th Street as we get more information, right?
Right.
So that would be a big number that would go on here once we have more information in the next month or so from the assessments.
4th Street's on there. 4th from the bottom. But that's what the project you referenced.
That's a water line, not water. Sewer.
I'm sorry.
The issues are sewer. So the collapse at H Avenue was a sewer collecting station, manway, and some of the sinkholes that we're seeing over the last 6 weeks are all sewer related, not water. You might put them together when you dig it up because they run pretty close. So it might be one of those where you do them together. According to which sewer issues are the worst ones. So you might pull some of that work in, Joe, when you were doing the sewer, if they were in the right places. That's all I have to add for council.
Any other questions or comments on water and sewer, your capital plan?
Not now.
Okay. Next is the stormwater fund. And again, these are questions. They would direct those to Jimmy in regard to more equipment and/or infrastructure projects. For sure. And I know there's some number of unknowns here too. So. Mm-hmm.
With the storm collector, the run behind the settlers back here behind the homes on Motson properties will be big.
Right.
And you know, it's not, you know, depending what that cost is, I mean we don't really know what it is and exactly what year it potentially would fall into either at this point, I guess. So.
Well, hopefully LDSI will get the study turned around pretty fast with the contract because it's not a complicated study, and then it's what Motsu says. If the colonel approves that pretty fast, we may be trying to do a budget amendment to get it in this year. There's no interferences other than a big mud hole, and it's digging a ditch and putting a pipe in, so we don't have to work around anything, which is nice. If Jimmy's team gets turned in on it, the installation should be fairly fast, not like instantaneous, but that could get in this year if it was to get approved in a timely fashion.
Right. And right now we already have just about 61,000 that we just labeled when we developed the
budget. Exactly. Right.
So
yeah.
I don't know what the total cost of that project will be, but at least there's...
Well, we spent some of that over here by the firehouse, for sure.
Well, yeah.
Right?
As we did that, that's
raining stuff. So some of that you'll see showing up this month.
Right.
But there could potentially be enough in the budget. If not, we would do a budget amendment. Jimmy and Arlen will bring it to council as soon as it gets approved. Because I'm assuming council still wants that to go forward. So if Motsu was to approve it, I'm assuming we would do it pretty expeditiously. And so it may not even show up in next year's budget. So. Alan, we bring it to council as soon as we have information.
Right. I didn't think we'd get it in before this year.
Of course, we will graciously ask for them to say, hey, we're helping improvements on your property. Hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm sure they'll tell us no, but at least
we I appreciate you asking. There you
go. We just have to keep in mind if we do any kind of budget amendments. I know we still had, you know, 250,000 or so in that fund balance.
It changes all your other stuff, that's right.
But it's, you know, again, keeping that in mind too, that, you know, how much do we want to deplete that fund balance to without, you know, increasing revenue sources.
That's why I said we'd be talking about the stormwater fee at the budget process as well. You're doing a good job, Farm.
So any questions on 5-year capital plans?
No, sir. Good job by the department.
Yeah.
So next I go through what I've done other years. We're just trying to, like, project out.
This is my favorite part.
Revenue expenses over the next 5 years. And again, I kind of took a simple approach that I've done in the prior years and looking at, well, how much has our revenue grown on average per year? You know, same thing with expenses. You know, So we'll just dive right into that. And the first thing is the general fund. And what this main assumption is, no fee increases, no property tax increase. The other thing that's in here, you'll see above where it says net recurring revenue, is that street paving to be paid from the general fund, which is, I went with the assumption, these are the numbers from that other slide when we looked at the street paving. And at this point, just assumed that it was coming out of fund balance, you know, that it wasn't financed. But just as a, that's the approach I took with this at this point. So you see in a lot of cases, at least the for 2022 and 23, the reason we're going kind of like negative cash flow really relates to the street paving. And again, there could be other ways to pay for that, as we talked about, which would be financing, which would change those numbers and actually increase debt service, but not by the same amount. I mean, it would be a lesser amount that it would increase debt service. Than, you know, this also assumes you don't know increase the headcount, no other, as I said before, fee increases, property tax increase, no transfer to beach protection or contingency or anything like that. So for the most part, where we start to have, you know, bigger issues, if again trends continue the way they have, is when we hit the fiscal year 24.
So, estimate 2021 is finishing up June 1st. Is that where we are for fiscal year? I always get confused on these.
Yeah, but 2021
is the one we're in, right?
June 4th, what we're in right now.
Okay.
So ending June
1st. I just want to make sure I can understand. Okay.
And unless something changes, I mean, that's why right now it's looking like that we would be, you know, approximately that $300,000.
Well,
there's a couple. There's a couple
of things. These are just projections.
No, I understand. I just want to understand which one. I got it.
There's a couple assumptions there. No additional debt service, right?
Right. There's a lot. You know, and these are looking at normal, as I call them, recurring expenses. If we
and no transfer to the beach protection. So,
which is not good.
Well, it's quite possible at 306 that could still happen, even with some of the things going on, but we have to keep an eye on this.
Huh. It's a great way to look at it.
Yep.
Any other questions on that right now? So this just shows the chart or whatever, you know, get that picture in everybody's mind or whatever, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, again, the general fund, but it's like, well, how do we keep like positive cash flow? And again, there's a lot of factors that come into play here, but and what I did to keep it simple was, well, what kind of tax increase would need to be done to keep us in a positive cash flow, basically. And again, it's the same assumptions with that, well, paving is just being paid out of the general fund, you know, no financing. So again, just one way to look at it. There's numerous ways to try to turn our cash flow positive. You know, this is just one assumption being used as property taxes, which is the easiest way to present it here. So
we need a $300,000 to $600,000 additional revenue stream. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the next chart. Forgive me, I read ahead of you.
So this just in green, you'll see, you know, the projected tax increases to kind of keep us positive cash flow.
And this shows, did you do any estimate for paid parking or no?
No.
Okay.
At this point,
just wanted to understand.
Yeah, that would have, that'll definitely come into play.
Yep.
You know, I think as you mentioned earlier or this morning, it's like whatever goes into our budget for paid parking is going to be extremely conservative.
Yes. No, I appreciate that. No.
Well,
that's what you should do.
What?
But it's not zero. So,
yeah, it's not going to be zero.
That's fine.
But what, you know,
I respect gonna, you're very conservative because that keeps us out of trouble, so I respect
you.
Yep. It's not going to be $1 million either. So.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we got to raise our question figure in here.
Well, and that's not, that's not factored in either. So there are things that come into play further down the road or whatever, because you can't really project project that at this point either. So this is just any tax increase is based off of existing
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Well, the whole reason we were able to stay ahead of this is because you give us this advice every year. So.
That's right. So any questions on this information regarding the general fund?
Okay.
And this just is a little chart that shows that cash flow basically is a chart format. So. Next is the water and sewer fund. Next is, I thought I'd show property taxes since the last slide showed some potential increases. This is just where New Hanover County and New Hanover County towns have been over the last 3 years. So in particular, you see that, you know, everybody stays the same at least the last 2 years. 2018 to 2019, we increased by a penny in Carolina and Speech to increase by 2 cents. So just for informational purposes.
Yeah, so a couple of things on this one. For anyone that's listening to the recording, since I guess no one's online right now.
I have a couple.
Oh, there's a couple of people. So, one, all these other communities are supported by a business district that has a much higher value than our business district in proportion to the residences. So that's an important thing to understand. And two, when they revalue, unfortunately, due to what the real estate market's been doing in the beach communities, you're gonna see our values go up and the county tax rate go down, but not as much for us proportionally, so you're gonna pay more to county taxes. You know, if someone comes to council or wants to listen to this, if you ever say our tax rate is unfairly higher than Riceville Beaches is, when you put up 20-story motels all along the oceanfront and let them defray your property tax rate, you could have done that, but we can't do that because past councils and citizens wanted a 35-foot height limitation. So that's the trade-off, right? We have a beautiful community. The department heads are doing a great job of controlling cost, and unfortunately, with the revenue streams the way they are in North Carolina, the town has to charge the tax rate to pay for the services that the citizens use, and so that's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, David. There's actually a couple factors here, right? The other is the fact that we have 2,200 structures in town. These other areas, with the exception of Riceville, who has probably about double the value currently, the others have thousands of structures more. So it's not quite as easy. I think for the millions of dollars that we get to keep, given that 60% of it goes to the county and not to the community, that the department heads do an excellent job. And I'll say that all
it's
the
a
time.
Good slide to see though, to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I know at one time you had other small communities of our size showing. I don't know if it's worth you doing that. It just was an interesting slide, even in the past.
Yeah, I put that out there. The difference this year is because some of the information hasn't been updated yet for 2020
right.
Because the deadline for audits to be reported was extended to January 31st. So there's some of the information where I get the information just wasn't current at this point.
Really? They extended 6 months on the audits because of COVID?
They're typically due October 31st.
Okay, so 3 months.
They extended it to January.
Okay. Huh. Okay. No, it's valuable to keep track of, but I think it's important to make sure our citizens understand, because you look at this chart like, oh, they're like charging me way too much, and it's like, first, the average property value, although Curie Beach is closing in, I think, but the average property value in Riceville Beach is much higher. So if you look at the actual average payment to the towns, they're a lot closer than that number would show.
I mean, the last valuation I saw before Riceville, they were about 3 times our valuation.
Yeah, they have more people too, I think.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think really they're like 30%. The average, if you can figure out the average one, which I did a long time ago, I think even now they're probably 30%, the average property is 30% more than a Curie Beach average property, whatever that number is. Right, if Curie Beach is 300,000, they're 450 or something.
I mean, there are, those are good points. I would also say if you look at the total budget for Wrightsville, it's more than 2x ours, I believe. If you look at Carolina Beach, it's more than 2x ours, and it's because they have alternative revenue streams. And that's it, period.
Right, there's a lot of things, I mean,
right.
This is just for information, and yeah, there's a lot of factors that come into play. And yeah, in the future retreats, I'll try to get back to adding like some other comparable size, you know, beach towns too, with some comparative information. It just wasn't very meaningful this year to do that because of the lack of information.
Okay.
So next, I thought I'd show the water and sewer fund. Again, this is assuming no rate increases. It's after the ones that were done this current fiscal year. And some of the same kind of assumptions. I looked at how, you know, revenues have increased. So I look at 0.75% increase in revenue per year. Operating expenses, 5% per year. No headcount additions. Debt service and all that based on the capital plans and existing debt. So this actually looks better than other years, and part of that is because adjusting the expenses. Our expenses stayed very comparable for fiscal year 19 and 20, I mean, within like a couple thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. So it kind of changed my assumptions on increases and projections on expenses. If all of a sudden we had another year where we had to, sludge removal or whatever, mm-hmm. Adjust all these things the other way. But even though this looks good with, a lot of green up there, that's not very significant amount of green when you think about what we need to build our reserves, as we talked earlier about paying for future capital projects. So that cash flow doesn't really even cover our depreciation expense. The depreciation's not even factored into this schedule either. So it's good that it's green, but it's also not as good because we're not really adding to our reserves the way that we should for this type of
fund. Supposed to talk it to, we can let her go.
Does anybody have any questions?
No.
And that's just like the other thing, just shows the cash flow that I charted out. So what I did next was assume a couple water and sewer rate increases. And I did like just some generic ones starting with the upcoming fiscal year and just said 10% across all accounts. And that, again, to keep it simple for this approach, that 10% was for everything, for the minimum, the rate tiers, just straight 10%. And you see that actually brings our estimated cash flow for fiscal year 22 through 26, that it basically at least covers our depreciation. Our depreciation is approximately $270,000 a year. So it does demonstrate some building of reserves for not only emergencies, but also future capital projects. And this will have, we'll take a lot harder look as we go through the budget process and get an idea of what, projected expenses are going to be.
Nice.
Anybody okay. Have any questions on that?
Good first start.
And this, like I always show, get that picture in your mind. This is what that would look like, the cash flow. So I thought what I'd also show, and I think I'd shown this in the past, but I updated it with anybody that's changed rates. That's looking at the water and sewer operations within New Hanover County and what they would charge based on various usage levels. And I think the key thing here is that, Curie Beach has the least expense of water and sewer at the lower levels. So at 2,500 gallons, 4,000 gallons, we have the least expensive water and sewer rates. But once you move, much beyond 4,000, next level I used was 10,000. We have the second highest, and at 15, we are, you know, the highest, which again demonstrates what we're trying to do, which is to, you know, put more of the burden on people who, you know, use the system the most.
Right, so Willard, this is slide 55 when you're looking for it, and just comments on this. This is exactly the strategy that we've been encouraging council to follow for at least the last 5 years. And that highlights a couple of things that everyone in the county should be aware of. The fact that it is cheaper to, so if you're a retiree in one of these communities, barely getting by, you have to pay more for your water than someone that's just burning it up at 15,000 gallons a month. And that is just unbelievable. I mean, so one, I appreciate council's support on making heavy users of water pay for it because it's wasteful of a natural resource. And you just have to look to the West Coast to see what can happen to your water supply, or just look at what happened to our water supply with the stuff coming down the river that then got pumped down into the reservoir potentially. But it is unbelievable to me that no one else is following the lead that we've been talking about for 5 years with water. Thanks, Earl.
Yep. This works. Most people should be able to get by on 4,000 gallons, the best deal around.
Any other questions on water and sewer? Can I move on to stormwater? And this is based on all the current assumptions of this, you know, what the expected revenue increases are per year and operating expenses. And this shows a different picture than most of the other funds. And this also doesn't include a lot of the unknowns. You know, we have a lot of unknowns in stormwater. So this is based on primarily that estimated miscellaneous projects of $40,000 a year. And the assumption here was that, not knowing whether they could be financed or not, that they would be paid out of fund balance. So, you know, this definitely demonstrates, you know, that we would be continuing to use what's already starting to be a depleted fund balance. So it would probably require, you know, some type of further, you know, stormwater rate action. But again, until we start working through the budget process, you know, that's where this would have to be fine-tuned. So this just shows what that looks like. What I did next was, well, what happens if there's some fee increases. So what I included at this point was a 20% increase for the upcoming year. And again, this would have to be fine-tuned when we have more information. But and then an additional 10% increase in fiscal year 24. And what I was just trying to demonstrate here is, you know, trying to do something that we start to replenish our fund balance in addition to paying for, you know, current projects.
The first part.
Does anybody have any?
No, it's pretty. That's what we said. So, got it.
And this just shows what that would look like in a chart form. Well, the next thing I did was just look at within New Hanover County what the stormwater rates, current stormwater rates are. And, you know, as you see, we're the highest rate is Carolina Beach at $15.50 a month. We're second at $10. Wilmington is $8.35. And Wrightsville Beach is $5. And just put it up there for informational purposes. I mean, without having a lot more information to understand the different rates, you need that to better evaluate where we are in relation to everybody. But this is just for comparison. Anybody have any questions?
No, just say that I'm sort of surprised at Wrightsville and Wilmington with the issues that they have. I mean, so I encourage our citizens to provide feedback to this next statement, but would say that the stormwater challenges are relatively even among all the areas, and I would say we're at least in the top tier of how well we're doing. You know, when if your lot's below the road and it floods and you're mad that the town hasn't fixed it, I'm sure you disagree. Or if there's stormwater from outside the town that you're pumping across your property to the street, you may disagree. But if you step back and look at how the stormwater is being operated in these four communities, we're definitely doing as well or better than any of them. And again, I'm open to debate on that. I'd be glad for you to provide me pictures and feedback, because I'm certainly open to it, but that's my impression of it, driving around the four communities.
Well, like I said, we invested $1.2 million in this area. And that's in the last 3 years. That's a reflection of that. Also, the fact that it's much better than it was when the town filled up with water with Florence. That's another indication that this money has been well spent. And unfortunately, we do have to pay for it. And it is still, my opinion, not a bad deal, and I would argue with anybody about those points.
Well, I'm open. Like I said, if people provide me data, I'm definitely open to it, because I want to serve the citizens. I mean,
right.
It's a balance, right? You can make it perfect and charge a whole lot, or you can make it good and charge where we think we are. Or not. And I mean, when you start talking about services, the true issue is the systems managed by the town preventing flooding even when we have 29 inches of rain during Florence, or even with Esaias, I can't even say the name right, or even this, I guess, over the last 2 days when we've had 2 inches, Jim, more than 2 inches. So that's the issue. It can always be better, but it costs a lot to be better, and we just got to realize that we're trying to make the right balance of what the citizens are paying for versus what they're getting. The same issue with paved streets, by the way, for council. I mean, the streets are better. They're not better in the brand new communities than they were, because they were brand new, but the streets are better than when I was a kid 20 years ago across all of town. Not saying they're perfect, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't invest the money in it. We should take the feedback from the residents, and the residents are starting to say we should spend more and fix it. But just saying that the streets that I grew up on riding a bike and skateboarding were not as good as the streets they are right now in Tree Beach. Not to say they should be better. That's an issue for the council to resolve to meet the needs of the citizens, but you get what you pay for in things, and we got to decide what we want to pay for. That's the issue.
Okay.
Wasn't that more like 40
years ago?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, probably.
I was thinking that
maybe,
too.
Yeah, maybe even 60 years. Not 60 years ago, but close. Good point. Point well taken. With my kids, 20 years. But how's that?
So the next thing I just wanted to show was what our debt would look like based on those five-year capital plans and what I had picked out of those things that would be potentially financed, which were, you know, more of the larger expenditures. So it's that also is pretty much a positive trend with our amount of debt coming down. But again, that's just a projection now, depending on, you know, anything that would pop up that could require. You know,
well, this is if we don't finance anything. Okay.
Well, no, this is if we finance some of the things that were in the five-year capital plan, but if we were to finance street paving, that's right. Right now that is not reflected here.
Okay.
But
so what things are in here? Because it's going down pretty dramatically.
Yeah, it is.
Which is good. That's awesome. I wish my personal
other thing, but this included, just trying to think, there was a fire engine.
Right.
Financing.
Oh, okay.
Public works building. All the different vehicles were all financed. So it's the more significant thing. So even though it's coming down and we have some significant additions, we also have some significant
drop offs. Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Positive story.
That's a great story.
Great
story. I think it'll change at the end of the
I'll keep that one.
Yeah, we'll show us that one after we make decisions during the budget process.
I'll keep that one.
But again, all projections based on current information. So. Any questions on that?
No.
Yes.
So, I know at this point we typically look at, well, what would be our potential timeline for fiscal year 22 budget development. So I pretty much stuck with the same format and time frames that we've used over the last few years that seem to work well. So this is just a starting point thrown out there to get input on whether this is doable for everybody, or where potentially we maybe need to make some adjustments. And really, the key the key dates are for council really are April 5th, April 16th. They would be the proposed budget workshop date.
Mm-hmm. Well, that looks okay to me.
That's Easter Monday, April 5th.
What's that?
If anybody travels or anything for Easter, that's Easter Monday.
April 5th is Easter Monday?
Yeah.
It's not Easter Sunday, though.
Since well, that's Monday point. After Easter.
Yeah.
If they travel.
So yeah. I think Joe's point is a vacation day, I guess. I don't know if Good Friday.
Yeah, we're closed on Friday, so that's typically I would do. We always try Fridays, but to try to keep it in the same time frame that when we got to Monday. But we have flexibility. Just a proposed.
So meeting. We set this at the Friday meeting, or are you asking us to set it here?
I guess you can think about it or whatever. This is what I'm proposing. We need to stay somewhat in some of those within a reasonable time, especially of those two budget workshops. Some of the other things I just need council to, agree to. Like I assume we're going to ask for outside funding requests, so it's a typical time frame for that. I just added on when I get the information to the department heads and when that will be due from them. So again, the key things are really the April 5th, April 16th. Those two budget workshops are really the key. The other things, the public hearing. Until June, we would have flexibility to fit in the contract. It's just to keep it with the same timeline as in the past.
So, are you okay with April 6th, that Tuesday? Or are you worried about that?
No, I'd rather it be a Monday.
I'm not the one to worry about Easter Monday. I was thinking more along y'all.
Good job, sir. Nice job. What do you think about the team? Nice.
So
I'm fine with the schedule as proposed, if everyone else is.
I'm okay with the schedule. How about you, Alan?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
John?
Yes.
Okay, want a motion for this schedule?
Make a motion we approve the schedule as presented by the finance officer for the budget calendar.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So be it. Thank you, Alan. What else you got for us?
I just have a couple of last miscellaneous kind of things. I know earlier we talked about the fuel tank. So what this shows is the last 3 years covering July 1st through December 31st, what our fuel costs have been. So that started out with the most current. So the fuel tank actually became operational the latter part of June 2020. So this covers from July 1st to December 31st. So our fuel costs were just about $19,000. But if you compare that to the prior 2 years for the same time period versus July through December of 2019, we're down over $10,000. So, and in relation to the same period for 2018, it's a difference of about $13,000. Now, there's factors that come into play, like for that 2018, I think that was Florence was in, so we maybe had some higher costs. But I think the bottom line, the key is that we are definitely saving money with use of the town fuel tank.
Yeah.
Good work, Chief.
Well, just looking at the rate you're paying, you have to be saving
money. Have to be saving money, too, but still.
When you were doing it retail, Arlen, did you turn in to get the state fuel tax back or anything
that? Yeah, that's so part of by it, the right? company that we used. That's already factored in here, just like the rates we're paying now for to fill the fuel tank does not include those fuel taxes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So those rates we're paying, and it's varied, and of course it's, the higher amounts on that per gallon cost at the bottom are definitely the most recent. It's ticked up a little bit as we see at the at the gas stations too.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
So I expect that, you know, the next shipment will get, you know, be beyond those higher numbers that for the per gallon cost.
That's great work.
Yeah, so Chief, can you tell your guy that led this, great job?
Yes, sir.
Town appreciates it. And one, great job during the hurricane for having a plan and executing it for gas, but this is a much better plan on the generator. So it's nice as the emergency manager to be able to tell our compadres that we're good on fuel when it comes up. So great job all the way around.
I apologize for running just a little late, but we should be about 15 more minutes on this.
Anybody have any other questions on that? So we have, next thing I just do briefly is, you know, where do we stand with our reimbursements for the past couple storms?
Mm-hmm.
So for Florence, we're sitting exactly where we did a year ago. except for we did get our direct administrative costs, so just about $10,000 next to the bottom line that did come in since our last meeting, but we're still waiting on a little over $58,000. It's the last 25% of our emergency protective measures. And what happened there is we went over the threshold of that because of the dollar amount was considered a large project. So it requires a whole closeout process, and the state is still behind with all of that. You know, they're still working on Matthew and a few other things. So even though we made all our requests for the just to be closed out, we're still kind of on hold. We will get it, I think.
We will, okay.
Someday.
So you're still optimistic? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, there's no reason to think that we will not get it. It's okay. Just when we'll get it, I don't know.
It's the speed of the state.
Well, great job. $58,000 is worth still waiting for, right?
Yeah.
So, great job.
Yeah, it's state funds, not federal. Right. Good work.
And that was in 2018, right? Just for those listening, that was a hurricane.
Yeah,
over 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So for Dorian, we're in better shape. We got everything we asked for. So that one's completely reimbursed, a little over $126,000 in total. And that one went quicker because there were nothing considered a large project. So
okay.
It was much easier.
Excellent.
The last one, Isaias, this one's a little bit more of a work in progress. The only one that's been fully submitted and waiting for any kind of questions, which I hopefully address most of those at this point, is the emergency protective measures of $24,380. So I'm hoping that one will be approved in the very near future, and we should hopefully get that soon. The other categories are still a work in progress. I mean, debris removal, we're still working through the issues with that. Potential questions on, we used a third party to haul some of the material, you know, so there's some things that we need to still work through with that. So that one we're working on, and hopefully we'll have a better idea of where we stand with those expenses in the near future.
So is that on us or FEMA right now? Do you know?
It's more on us right now.
Okay. Do we have timing on, is that our vendor? Is that the issue?
Well, it's not just that. It's also having the actual federal declaration took a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So my decision was for us not to spend a whole lot of time putting together all the stuff that we had to when we didn't know if we were going to get anything. So once that became, you know, reality, and it was the president declared that, you know, we started getting it. We had already accumulated things from department head, but then it's the process of putting it all together and what makes sense, and just getting all the documentation, answering questions from FEMA. So we've been working very closely, you know, Karen and I. Karen's done a lot of this. It's a very tedious, very tedious process in getting this together and making sure, you know, all the pieces fit together right. So that one's in progress. The stormwater outfalls, Jimmy and I have talked about that a lot, I think. I know they have a lot on their plate or whatever, but it's something we need to address, I guess, sooner rather than later, because there's, you know, I know Jimmy got some quotes, I guess, for having someone do the work, and that's where that $60,000 number came from.
Right.
and I know there's some discussion about them doing it in-house, so we just need to, I guess, and again, I know Jimmy's working on it, you know, course of action, because we're at the point now where we're being asked for a lot of extra documentation because the projects are still open.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, that's reasonable. We just got to make sure we don't miss our opportunity, right? At least get them, and then they can tell us yes or no, but we need to get them the information that you need, right? And so if you need help with that, let council know, or department heads, let them know what you need, but get it in so we can at least find out if you get it or not, right?
Right, I mean, and you know, with the time. The outfalls, that's what, you know, Jimmy and I have been talking about, and I know okay, we're coming good. Up with a plan, so.
Okay.
So any question on the, we also submitted at two different points in time, I guess, request to FEMA for COVID-19 expenses, and the first time we rescinded our project because we got CARES Act funding and we couldn't duplicate.
Yep.
We did submit a second one then when we thought we had a high enough amount to meet the minimum threshold, and some of the expenses got rejected, which were primarily the use of our own equipment to patrol the beach. They changed their theory, you know, their approach to that, and they said that wasn't allowable. So then we weren't at the minimum amount. So Cameron's going to accumulating the information. So as soon as we hit that minimum amount again, we'll submit again to FEMA for another COVID you know, reimbursement. But so it's in progress.
So
if we had rented equipment instead of using our own equipment, we would have a reimbursement,
possibly,
right?
Possibly. That's like, but I can't even say for sure. I mean, yeah. Because it's, they've changed what's allowable and not allowable so much that I'm not sure. No.
I really, you're right. It's like saying you get beach protection if you have a lot of money spent on the beach. So encourage people to build at the beach where it gets destroyed. It's the same thing. Now they're encouraging us to rent equipment instead of use our own. That doesn't make sense.
Well, and we would have had a, we actually ended up better by getting CARES Act funds from through the county. So that covered a lot of the payroll costs for things like patrolling the beach, for overtime that I think, you know, police and public works and whoever else had to do. And then a lot of the PPE that had to be purchased or whatever all got covered through the CARES Act funds. So now we're just kind of, after taking that into account, what's left over, and as we still continue to go and have purchases, and whether it's the cleaning at the restrooms or extra cleaning at town hall, and any other purchases, once we hit that minimum amount, we'll definitely submit again.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
So one last thing that I was going to bring up, this, that you know that we have these ground leases for the cell towers. And at multiple times over the years, I've got received calls about companies that buy these leases. And they used to be for, you know, maybe $300,000 or $500,000. Well, the most recent one that I got, maybe about 2 months ago, was a preliminary proposal to purchase the leases for $1.3 million. So I'm not saying we should do it. I'm more presenting that as just information for council, and whether it's something that you'd be interested in me pursuing further.
So if they purchase it, that means after that 13 years, it goes away, right? That's what
I'm
saying. Well,
it would actually go away immediately. If we were to sell them, it goes away immediately.
Right.
I put that 13.5 years, it's, that's how much we'd be getting up front, 13 and a half years worth of
right. And then it would stop.
Right. Well, then it would be going into fund balance. That's assuming that, you know, we're going to lose, right up front, we're losing $76,750 of.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm not saying it's a thing to do. It's something I just wanted to throw out there. It's some, you know, a significant amount of money. And again, whether it's something you would like me to find out more information about, or something that.
So
if they believe.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if they believe it's worth $1.3 million, it's probably worth a lot more.
Well, I was going to ask, I don't know if Joe's been following this. So with 5G, they're going to have a lot more than just cell towers that they have, right?
5G's going to be more towers.
Right? I know, that's what I'm saying. They're going to have them every half mile or something for 5G to work.
Remember, they wanted to put one down at the south end.
Yeah.
6-7 years ago, right when I got on P&Z, and we shut them down for it.
We didn't let them put it on the water tower?
They wanted to build a tower.
Yeah, why didn't we? Is there one on that water tower?
I don't
know. Is there one on the south water tower?
I don't think so.
I can't remember which one. I think the south one they backed.
Did you pull off the south port down there?
Had something there, but they now have taken it down.
Okay.
Yeah, because all I know is reception's terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Council.
Arlen, does the town lose the ability to lease after the term runs on the ones we sold?
I believe. I don't know. I mean, that's what would have to be pursued. I don't want to say for sure. So.
Is he a no-brainer if he could just renegotiate?
Bless you. I don't think that's the case.
It better be smarter than that. They're going to go out of business.
And that's why, right here, this is just if you'd like me to find out more information. If there's no interest, that's fine too. So.
As my father would say, it's the fast nickel or the slow dime.
I know. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. We don't need that 1-3 that badly yet.
Well, I think we need more than a PowerPoint to say what they're really saying, I think, Arlen. Because there's a lot of questions that this slide generates that it's worth knowing what exactly they're saying, right? The attorney's question was good, what happens at the end? The other question is, does that mean they can sublet our cell towers to other people? So they pack a bunch of other companies in there because we've given them the rights to do that. What are they getting for the 1.3?
They're getting the actual ground lease because the cell towers aren't ours either. We just own the property that they're
right. Yeah, so. I know, but does that mean they can pack other stuff? Because all these companies are looking future forward, and 5G is the issue. And like Commissioner Whitley said, and I think I understand, the two places that we have towers in Curie Beach would not support 5G in Curie Beach. So if they ever wanted to put 5G here, they got to put them on buildings or something else too, right? And so can you just ask them for more detailed information? And that's all.
Yeah, and that's all I was trying to get here is whether you want me to spend the time to do that or whatever. If there would be even a remote interest of council, because if there wasn't, I wasn't going to waste my time. But if there's at least you'd like more information, then that's
I'm interested in what they're really asking for, but I don't. If the rest of council wouldn't, I don't want to necessarily read it. I'm with Craig. I don't think we need to do it right now, but it's nice to know.
Right.
I mean, what would be horrible is it goes up and then goes down, and you miss the window, right? So knowing it and then investigating what it really means. If in 3 years the leases go to worthless anyway because of 5G, it'd be nice to know that.
Right.
You know, 13 years is a long time, and the way that technology changes, they may not need those towers in 13 years because they got small ones on all the telephone poles. And so those just get abandoned because of the telephone pole issue for 5G. So I think it's worth understanding. Because what I'll do is reach out to some Corning contacts and just ask them, what do you think is going to happen with this kind of technology? 13 years is a long time. We may not have that money in 13 years anyway, so why not get it all now if that was true? Do you agree, Joe?
Well, 4G came out in 2006, I think. So you've got 14 years for the technology to advance. I'm sure it'll advance more rapidly. I mean, we won't wait another 15 years for. So I don't see how much farther they. If you can download a movie in a second, is that okay? I mean, are we that impatient?
My kids are.
I only know one person that impatient.
It's a character flaw. But I really wouldn't be interested. I'm curious why now. I'd really just for my own information, I'd like to know why they're willing to offer that amount of money. But I don't think I would. I mean, if we can get that money
every year. Wants to buy your car. If it's worth that much money, should you just take that offer, or should you go somewhere and see what you? Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably a better deal out there.
Right. Well, and again, maybe. My question is only whether you'd like more information on this. So
what is our lease now? That's a 76,750. Yeah. Is it for 5 years, 10 years?
Well, what it does is the way the agreements are written, they just automatically extend. I think that's just the way.
And they're hard pressed for anywhere. I mean, they wanted to put it down there. Now, Jim, you weren't a lawyer back then. John, you remember that? AT&T sent that letter saying they wanted to put that cell site down at, was it President Davis behind President Davis?
Assembly Way.
Behind the water tower, right?
Yeah, they wanted to put another cell site, not on the tower. They wanted to build one. And we, the consensus was we didn't want to be the P&Z board that approved a cell site behind somebody's backyard.
Right.
So it didn't go any further.
Yeah.
Arnold, if you go through the list, your listserv, and just see if any other towns have cell phone leases. And
I think the only thing they'll give them would be a contract. Why else would they give you more? Sample contract so you know what happens at the end of 13 years or what they can do, like he's talking about.
Well, we'll just continue on. That 13 and a half years is just to say.
Yeah, that's your calculation.
How long it would take us to bring in $1.3 million.
Right.
Yeah, that's your simple payback.
And if they got it, then they, of course, would have access to it anytime they want, so they could just show up here at any time, right?
They already have that now.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Well, I think the plan is they must be thinking they can sub-sell it, right? Because I'm sure their contract. I'm just interested, right? Just ask them for details,
and then
I'll reach out to Corning and ask, what do we see happening with cell sites in the next 10 years? Because there's people working on that. And if we think it's going to go away in 10 years, we should do this. I mean, if the consensus of the technologists is that, you know what, in 10 years, they're not going to pay you anything because they're going to go away, because a 5G is going to be on telephone poles, then we should take the deal now and understand what there's something else that we don't understand. I think that's the issue. Right?
Yeah, there's very little. This was just a very discussion on the phone, and it was
I'm not encouraging council to do it, but I think we should at least understand a little more what they're really asking.
Right.
So I think there's got to be other companies or something that get permission.
I have two already that are
right.
So, yeah, so that's really just my question. So it's something you'd like more information
about? I think so.
Okay. Yeah,
we should investigate.
More information.
It's a lot of money. We should
go ahead and get the information. Why they give you $1.3 million to get $76,750.
Right. Because their payback doesn't make any sense right now.
Yeah.
There's something else.
Okay.
So that's all I have.
All right. Yes.
So do you want to skip your break,
do, right?
Or do you want to take a quick break and then come back?
Can we take a 5 minute?
Yes.
Okay, 5 minute comfort break.
Make a motion to take a 5 minute break.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Sure.